Hey, good day, everybody. It's the audio experience. Actually, it's not. So I'm so used to saying that. This is actually Stunt Granny Audio. This is not the audio experience because that is not Dusty Giebink on the other end. That is Mr. Kevin DeFrango.
Nope.
Yeah.
I live a little more to the south and a little more to the east.
Yep. And a little more. Yeah. So we're doing an audio today because we're trying to actually come up with a time I can do these. So we're going to cover TNA for a change. This doesn't get covered a whole lot. Also, we have to talk about, at the very least, we have to talk about CM Punk versus Jeff Hardy from SmackDown. That'll be a little bit later, so if you want to forward ahead, feel free. But let's talk about TNA. And as I told Kevin before it even started, I do not remember a lot of this episode. I don't know if that's my own memory being that awful, or if the show just wasn't—I mean, it just wasn't memorable at all.
Well, that isn't entirely shocking. I mean, it was another one of those—you know—they just—they don't learn to fucking slow down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing fucking lingers long enough.
Yeah. Well, everything they do. As soon as the match is over, you barely see the guy's hand get raised, and you're backstage somewhere. Or you're backstage,
yeah.
Someone gets beat down, and all of a sudden, you're out in the ring. It's like, whoa, you know.
Yeah, and if I wouldn't write stuff down, I honestly probably wouldn't have had anything to talk about for TNA. So that was our mass planning for this audio.
Well, I've got some rundowns of the show. Actually, that's not true. I only have SmackDown in front of me. But what I do remember, I guess we can just start off with this, and then you can go over the points we talked about before we started, just to help refresh what I've forgotten already. The Dixie Carter, what's his name, Bobby Lashley interview.
Yep, that was one of my points.
I did not enjoy that whatsoever. Nor did I see the point in it at all. If he wasn't like that, they built it as her big in-ring, like on TV debut. I clearly remember her being on TV before, so I guess I meant broadcast TV because it was a pay-per-view. And really, the only positive thing that came out of it for me was that Lashley deepened his voice a little, and he has since he got to TNA.
That helped. It was just kind of awkward that, like, they had gone over all this stuff about talking, and then right near the end of it, she, like, pops this big surprise that his debut is going to be at the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, really? And I'm like, you guys have been ass buddies all this time, like, you're doing the sit-down interview, and, like, she's just going to spring that on you?
Yeah, and he goes, well, against who? Rhino. Cool.
Yeah. A guy that I probably wrestled in the WWE, but nobody remembers.
I'm trying to. I was thinking of that. I don't think that they weren't in. They weren't in WWE at the same time.
Oh.
He was down in. He maybe. OVW? Maybe.
Rhino. They got rid of Rhino, his useless ass, before that.
Was it 22? WrestleMania 22, 21? They got rid of him? Because of his freakish outbreak down in the lobby? What I didn't like that part because he just was like, cool. You know what? It's a subtle thing, but it's belittling Rhino, really. Because what he should have... Well, no. I understand Rhino.
Rhino is belittling himself with the feud that he's agreed to.
Yeah. But what I'm getting at is he should have been like, all right, that's a tough opponent. Or, you know what? I gotta start getting my game face on, just something like that. Well, then I need to start preparing and go, you know what, this interview's over. I gotta get together with my trainers. You know.
Yeah, he really could have done something like that.
Yeah, I mean it's not a monumental match. It shouldn't be treated as one, but it should be treated with a tad more respect than that. Yeah, you can look at it conversely as, well, Bobby Lashley's now fighting the guy who's beating up a guy with a retard haircut. I mean,
who's beating up a guy that he's only he got fed up with training him, what, 3 months in or something like that?
Yeah, because he lost two matches or something. I mean,
yeah,
or three or four, whatever it was. But now the whole Jesse Neal thing's a disaster, and I mean the guy's got a heel haircut.
He's just got an awful haircut.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point.
An awful ring attire, and
mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd think after what 3-4 months, of training, but how long he's been around, that Rhino would have afforded him some outfit, some money for an outfit, you know?
Yeah, that's the other thing that amuses me is they're like, he doesn't even have his own ring attire yet. I'm just like, you can, like, I know a place in Columbus that fucking makes it, for God's sakes. you know?
Or really, just go to Hot Topic or something like that, pick out some shiny wear, and wear to the ring. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's better than your average pair of shorts and a sweatshirt from Target.
Yeah.
All
right. So see, that's what I was talking about earlier. the other thing I don't like is the blatant. You've got the head of TNA, president, whatever.
Did they actually say that before the interview?
I believe they did.
Okay.
We'll just say yes, so we don't have to worry about it. I'm not letting the facts get in the way at this point.
That's fine. I was just asking the question. I fast forward up until the, you know, I think I like finally hit play like after they'd been introduced.
Yeah. No, the main problem I have with that whole thing is that you openly have the president. Owner, blah, 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 whatever it is. You have her openly rooting and putting all of her support and supposedly TNA support behind this one guy because she clearly stated she wanted him, she wants him to win the World Heavyweight Championship and she wants him to be a UFC champion or MMA champion, whatever. But here's the problem is that by doing so, I mean, if they want to, they can make it an angle. It almost seems suspect that she would openly root for somebody on, like on the roster. I mean, but she never said why. So it just seems odd. Like, why does she care? She got him signed. Yeah. She should just expect that he's going to bring ratings and he's going to bring pay per views and that. But she never said it. So I don't know. That just struck me as odd that the owner of a company would do that.
Yeah. I can see that. I don't think it's an entirely bad plan. Like, the only upside I saw to that interview was the fact, I don't know how much promoting they're going to do, but the fact that they might be promoting some of his MMA events, I think that has potential to be good. I'm not going to say that it's definitely going to be good, but
I think it's horrible.
Really?
Yeah, because it's horrible for MMA. Because it's just the arrogance of regular sports media. As soon as you put a wrestling company's initials in, or you know somehow there's somebody in wrestling tied to a legitimate sport, if you want.
Yeah.
It's going to taint it automatically, and if something goes wrong, it's just going to be, oh, it's fixed, it's wrestling, blah, blah, blah. So I think it's a horrible idea for anybody associated with the card, I mean, until, you know, they can prove that they can put a substantial product out there, and, I mean, without having that speculation, but I don't think it's possible.
That is certainly understandable.
Yeah. I mean, I don't agree with that. But
right. Yeah.
That's
no.
Just
I
how
mean,
it's going to happen. So.
Yeah, it's definitely a fair point that I'm not really going to argue about because you're probably right, or not probably. You're right. That is what's going to happen.
I mean, just imagine, you know.
Yeah, the first controversial decision that happens.
Mm-hmm.
It'll play out exactly like you said.
Or not even controversial. Just imagine, you know. I wish I knew more about MMA. I mean, I watch the fights when the streams are up, but when it comes to, like, knowing a lot of these guys or techniques, I don't. So I just imagine if some guy comes in the ring, he's 10-1, fighting a guy who's only fought twice, and the guy that fought twice knocks him out in 10 seconds. I mean, right there, people would just throw up in arms. Even though it's happened a bazillion times, I mean, just go to YouTube, you can find them, because there's wrestling, you know, initials involved on it, you know, forget it.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't see the point of the interview either. Another problem with the interviews is actually a bigger problem with Jeremy Borash, because he goes from goofy sidekick to legitimate journalism, or he, you know, he protects Madison Rayne. You know, there's no, yeah. There's no, what word am I looking for, man? Legitimate
no consistency.
Voice. Yeah, there's no consistency, and there's really no legitimate journalistic voice, if you want to put it that way.
Well, yeah, there's that too, because Lauren doesn't act like a regular, you know, person. Taz has been, you know, well, I mean, Taz is compromised already.
Oh, yeah.
And Mike Tenay is just the most horrendous, I'm going to just only pull for Babyface's face fucking announcer on the planet.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I mean, I've always thought that was strange, too, with Borash, because he goes from, you know, being goofy sidekick guy to, hey, I'm going to be Bruce slash, you know, I'm going to be the buffer brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the third buffer brother here for the main event now. Like, I was a goof bucket the whole time, and I'm even palling around with Kurt Angle, who's in the main event frickin' 90% of the time. But now I'm serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or, you know, I guess that's just been... I think we've mentioned that before, but it's been that way forever. And whenever it seems like they're going a certain way with him, then... And that, I mean, even the next segment, he just goes right back to square one again. So, anyways, I don't want to get into a discussion on Jeremy Borash, though. It just it does hurt the effectiveness of the interview, though. So I guess it's worth mentioning.
Yeah, that's the reason we went over it.
Yeah, all right. What else happened on Impact?
well, the one that definitely needs to be gotten to, and since we already talked about Tenay and Taz already, I was about ready to whoop their asses, and I forget which match it was, honestly, but it was like more than halfway through the show, they had already seen a good half dozen to a dozen replays. It was when Hernandez went over the top ropes. I think it was the main event there.
Okay.
And he did the flying body block on.
No, actually, it wasn't him.
I
know exactly what you're talking. Yeah, this is why I depend on you. What it was? Daphne and the Matsuda. Am I saying that right?
Hamada.
Hamada. Thank you. Where did I get Matsuda from? Whatever. Hamada, and she did that jump off the top rope through the table. On the outside, okay, so anyways, go ahead.
But yeah, they ask for a replay. They're like, oh, can the truck in the back get us a replay? And it's just like, motherfucker, you've seen at least a half dozen of them already this episode. Like, what would make you think that your production companies, like, is there a limit on them? I mean, is this like fucking spells and Dungeons and Dragons where you fucking run out of energy? No, motherfucker.
Yeah,
there's no amount of time. You know, they can pop up a replay, plus your fucking tape, you dipshit.
Okay, well, but, all right, on that respect, they do try and give you the impression it's
live,
though. They don't say it, but,
yeah,
I mean, they do. So, my problem with that is he's been doing that for years, not just that show, okay?
Yeah.
And... So the bigger problem is that he's marveled that you can get picture in picture. If it comes down to it, the idea that he thinks there's a guy who actually has a VCR remote has to rewind it and play it back for somebody. That's the basic downfall of his question, that he's that retarded that they ask him to do that. I mean. I don't own any VHSs anymore, and if I do, I don't know where they are. I have a VCR that I really need to unplug because I haven't used it in 3 years, 4 probably. And him saying, can the truck get this? Of course the truck can get this. Do you ever watch SportsCenter? I mean, do you ever watch a football game or baseball game or WWE programming or Ring of Honor, for God's sake? They do, I mean...
Even Pro Wrestling Ohio has fucking... Well, and, you know, that's the other sad thing is that you said picture-in-picture, and I'm just like, oh, my God, they don't almost ever do a picture-in-picture replay where they're showing the action. Mm-hmm. They do it sometimes, but, fuck, even Pro Wrestling Ohio has gotten to the point where they're like, okay, they, like, know when to shoot, like, a whole replay while nothing's going on. Mm-hmm. And then when there's action in the ring, they've gone to the split screen where they have, you know, the live action and the replay showing.
Yeah, you know why that happens that way? Because that's what you're supposed to do. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
The entire concept of having to even ask for it. If you ever watch an episode of SmackDown, Raw, ECW, Superstars, pay-per-view, you know, no one asks for it. It just shows up, and then they commentate on it. Because the guys in the truck don't exist to the audience.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing when they say, this just came through my headset.
Well, yeah.
Okay,
And I mean, they do exist in a way that they will, at least in sports, and I even think that they'll say it occasionally in WWE programming, that they'll thank the people in the back.
Yeah.
Which, you know, makes mm-hmm. a certain amount of sense. But it's more of like a, hey, you know, they do a lot of hard work. Let's thank them, you know, to, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's usually during a holiday, and they're like, hey, it's just not us here commentating. You know, let's thank camera guy A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yeah.
You know, and then the guys in the truck. And in that sense, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. Like, as far as, like, a replay or something that would normally happen or should mm-hmm. be happening... It's never addressed in yeah. any fashion except by TNA.
Or at least just say, hey, we're going to take a look at this again. I mean, you know, that's what they do in baseball telecasts. I guess for the person who has absolutely no attention span. So, all right, this isn't live. This is, you know, a couple seconds ago. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why. I was really happy you mentioned that before we got on because I was just, I mean, enraged, like, this is 1985 technology. This isn't hard. I mean, go back and look at the old ESPN broadcasts. They've been showing classic football games on. And that shit was back then, too. And heaven yeah. forbid they insert a clock in the bottom of the screen to let you know how much time's left. Like, holy shit, how do they do that stuff? The guys in the back are amazed. Shut up. All right. So anyways, yeah.
Yep. And, well, I don't want to go on with TNA too much longer, honestly.
No, I mean, that's all right. I don't care.
Well,
I haven't talked about TNA in a long time, so.
Well, then, at least my next big point, I guess the other two points are kind of small, really.
Okay.
And again, this kind of goes back to production, and people never watch their own fucking programming, and they don't... And, I mean, this is a habitual problem, really, unfortunately, and it's not really just a TNA problem, but I think it needs to be pointed out, where the World Elite is trying to recruit Hernandez, and what was it, 2, maybe 3 weeks ago, max, they had a sit-down interview with him, with Mike Tenay. And he clearly stated that he, well, A, they announced that he's from Texas when he's coming to the ring. Which, last I fucking checked, even though I say that it's a different fucking country, it is still part of the United States. Their votes count just as much as fucking anybody else's in a presidential election. And in the sit-down interview, he mentioned that his dad had a problem with LAX burning an American flag because he grew up as an army brat. And he moved from base to base, like he was never in the same place at the same time. It's just like, you're not part of these people. Why are they chanting USA for you? Well, he's fucking American. He just happens to be proud of the fact that heritage is from Mexico. You know what? I'm not Italian. You know, I can say that I'm Italian, and I'm happy that my grandmother is from Italy, but, you know, that's no different than what Hernandez is doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the U.S. gets knocked out of the soccer championships, I root for Italy after that because that's my closest connection. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I should not be recruited by the world elite just because my grandmother happened to fucking be born in Italy, for God's sakes.
Now, see, okay. I don't disagree with you, but there is a way around this if they were smart. Because if you think about it, it's called the world elite, okay? So you can have, you know, an American in there. There's a way around it.
Valid
just go,
point.
Yeah, you know, you're a strong American, but you're also not respected by these Americans. That makes you perfect for us. That's all they have to do.
You're right. They all they need to do is tweak the recruiting pitch, and it would have been fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's just like it'd be like them trying to get a homicide in there because he's from Puerto Rico, which they've established he's from Brooklyn. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a heritage is a sticky thing for most people. But this seems pretty no-brainerish. I mean,
But you're right. It would be really easy to just tweak the sales pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the U.S. is part of the world. There's no reason why they can't have a U.S. person in their in their group.
Yeah, I'd rather it be like Rhino or something. Just so, you know, just to keep up the mid-cardish level of everybody in this act. Hernandez has no business feuding with these people.
I think they're getting him out of Dodge as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Well, I read, there was a message board I was reading. It's like, hey, this seems to be going well. Hernandez is holding his own with the world elite. That'd be like Big Show back at the Survivor Series when he basically took out all of Big Boss Man's team. Because Big Show was a main eventer, and he shouldn't have been in this match anyways. That was around the time, you know, when Big Boss Man was dragging his dad around and stuff. I mean, there's a reason this shit happens. And...
Well, he pretty much blew them off, and I don't think that sales pitch is going to last very much.
Well, I don't know. Eric Young looks smug.
Eric Young can look as smug as he fucking wants to.
Yeah, and I don't understand the new haircut either. It doesn't make him look
still
good.
Still going to suck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nobody in the world elite if they disappeared that I'd care about. I mean, British Invasion, eh. You know what? Doug Williams and Magnus can stay. Everyone else in that group can go.
And this is something I brought up in a thread somewhere. Daivari was another guy that's just like, oh, you know, TNA is going to be able to give him a chance to shine and do something big. The WWE really fucked him over. And you know what? He's, you would not miss him if he's gone right now.
Nope.
You know, and I wouldn't either.
Well, he started off hot because, you know, at first he had.
He had the good keeping it edgy gimmick that he was from the U.S.,
what the hell was his partner's name? Oh, Muhammad Hassan. That's right.
Yeah. He had his gimmick in TNA. And, you know, it was good in the WWE. It was good in TNA until they both did the same thing, which was turn them into basically, you know, a real Saudi or a real fucking Afghan or Iraqi or, you know, what the fuck ever.
I can't remember.
Oh, God, and that was part of that. That was another part of that horrendous promo. I forgot about that part, too. They gave him that promo time before they invited Hernandez down. Oh, my Lord. Like, just talking about the Iraq War and everything. I'm like, seriously? Like, this just isn't even a talking point anymore. It's not going to incite anybody to get riled up about it, really. And it didn't at all, even with those chimps in the fucking impact zone.
The World Elite is one of those groups that it's obviously built on a necessity because they didn't know what to do with any of these guys. Who's the Japanese guy that's in there? Exactly.
Morimoto?
Exactly. who is this guy? They never explained where he came from. He was part of what?
Hiroyuki Sakai?
He was part of Team No Limit. Who the fuck are they? I mean,
Ken Kenichi?
What was the main guy's name?
That was Hiroyuki Sakai.
Mm-hmm.
Chairman Kaga?
That's it, yeah. I mean, and it's it parts my ignorance because I should know more. But at the same time, as a production level, you should be sitting here telling me who this guy is, who this guy is. All I know about Rob Terry and Doug Williams, really, are that they're British, and Rob Terry likes to work out.
Yeah, he's a massive guy. That's all I know about Rob Terry, honestly. Like, if he did not wear a British flag on his shirt all the time, I'm not even sure I'd know he's British.
Well, I would with that awful faux haircut and that big-ass, ugly English chin. Sorry if you're English, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. So, yeah.
Lay down.
Whatever. So, okay, we spent too much time in the World Elite. Just that's awful. So, but yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
So yeah.
You wanted to talk about someone's treatment and hair products or their hairstyle?
Yeah, this is a little one, and I think it's a good thing. I don't know. I don't particularly like the way that they're going with the Pope, D'Angelo De Niro, right now. He's a streetwalker. Like, what the fuck does that mean?
A streetwalker is a fucking prostitute.
Because aren't they calling him a streetwalker?
I don't know. I would hope that they're calling him a street preacher.
I think they're calling him a streetwalker. I honestly, I am not fucking joking. But, yeah, I think they're doing a fairly piss-poor job with him already. You know, it's just like, oh my god, this guy can talk, he can wrestle, and yet again, I thought he had potential, but you know what, you're just fucking him.
Well, see, I'm not ready to write him off because of that. What they need to do with him is establish why him and Suicide don't get along, because it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
They have an issue. Why?
That would help.
Yes. I mean, he prevented Suicide from winning the X Division Get Out of the Terror Dome match. Okay? Why? It's not hard. It's very, very easy.
Yeah, like, I mean, he specifically climbed down from the cage to beat on the guy, and you
mm-hmm.
would think that maybe you could get an interview with him or...
Yeah,
as something, and I don't know. Maybe they have enough time before the next pay per view to maybe say why he doesn't like him that much.
Yeah.
So I mean, they do have time to fill in that blank.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you would think that they would address it at least.
Oh, real quick, going back to your World Elite point about Hernandez, I just remembered this. Hermes Sadler has some sort of interview segment. I don't know. It was on ProWrestling.net. They had a link to it. And Hermes Sadler, who apparently races cars, if not, he has a horrible, horrible accent for a regular job. He's interviewing Sarita, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Lucha Mexican star. Okay?
Yeah.
The very first thing he says is, "You're from Manitoba, Canada." And I'm like, you just billed her as a Mexican star. And I mean, I don't care because, dude, I was actually going to link this before I texted you, because she's adorably good looking. She has some smoking legs on her in this interview. So she could have said she was from Mars. And wait, is it women are from Mars, men are from Venus? Or is that how it goes? Whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't mean that, so that's why I brought that up.
Okay.
No, I mean, she could have said she was from Pluton, and I wouldn't have cared, because she's...
You like body count? If you have a vagina, you will fuck it.
Well, no. No. But no, she just... You've got to see the legs on her, and then she's got that adorable, like, early Salma Hayek accent, before Salma Hayek decided she was going to make sure everyone knew she was Mexican, and, like, really turned her accent on thick. So, anyways, I just wanted to bring that up. So,
okay.
Yeah. All right. So, go back to what you're talking about.
Well, you know, And we had really even gotten away from the point that I was going to make about the Pope, and I think this just needs to be brought back. The heel with the chest hair. I love it. Well, we talk about looks all the time and how, well, and Eric and I have talked about how everyone's starting to look so generic, and The Miz getting rid of the shorts might make him blend in with everybody else. Like, you know, it's a point that we brought up before. Well, having him with the chest hair really kind of is like, oh, yeah. I mean, Shawn Michaels did it when he was a bad guy. Rick Rude did it some. You know, there were other guys that did it, and it's just like, wow, you know, that's something that somebody could do. Like, you don't need to look like fucking George. I'm not telling you to look like George the Animal Steel here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just have some chest hair in there. It gives you a different look rather than, you know, everybody's shaved these days, and it's just like, oh.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, and I don't think that's a bad thing to, you know, make yourself look a little bit different.
Right, and you know, there's only one place that should be shaved that everybody should be fine with. So that's the only kind of consistency I want. I know what you mean though. It's like, I think this is the gayest conversation we're probably ever going to have on here. You know that.
That's fine. I don't give a shit. You know what? The fucking shows that I listen to on a daily basis during the weekdays get way too gay all the time.
I'm trying to think. In TNA, you got Kevin Nash. Of course, he doesn't give a fuck. He does whatever he wants anyways.
Yeah, I guess he does have it, but you kind of don't see it that much since he wears the singlet all the time.
What else? Who else? The Pope. It's just kind of fun to say the Pope's got a hairy chest.
Does have a certain amusing ring to it.
AJ Styles did for a long time. I don't know if he still does or not.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's just because he looks like he's fucking 12 years old that
true.
I don't think about it.
Like Rick Rude used to, like he said. Big Boss Man, he had a classic one.
Oh.
Big Boss Man had the classic hairy chest, other than Shawn Michaels, because... He would have, you know, he'd have the blue shirt.
The first three buttons
undone. Yeah. And it was always just covered in sweat, working off that some sort of sweat that I won't say. And his buttons, and it was just there. And you're like, what a dirty bastard. I was like, ugh. Yes. One of my favorite wrestlers ever. I can't believe. The Giant. Big Show, The Giant.
Yeah.
He had a classically hairy chest, too.
Oh, yeah.
And all that shit's gone, too.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing beats the Big Boss Man's because his actually spotlighted that he just bucked the system.
Well, that, I mean, it was just such a highlight, too. Like, it was just tufting up there right where the shirt was gone.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what police officer wears his fucking shirt unbuttoned like that?
The cool ones, that's who.
Right. Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, all right, we're cutting this one off. So, all right. I don't think there's really much of anything else to talk about in TNA. Oh, well, real quick, I posted it. It'll be buried under this one, I'm sure. TNA's bringing Roxy back, so I'm very happy about that. So if people didn't know.
I missed that.
Yes, and that delicious, delicious booty of hers, too.
Yeah, that's a plus. Well, I mean, they need it, and this is a point I was going to touch on, which isn't that bad of a plan, really, is to hold up the women's belt while they try to get this whole tag team thing off the ground.
I don't know.
I don't think the tag team thing is a good idea.
No, not at all.
I think it's a terrible idea because with bringing in Sarita and Hamada and bringing back Roxy, they might have enough to basically do, like, there's only literally going to be two women's teams, and then with everybody else in the, and you know what, you just made me think of another point, too.
Okay.
That fucking jackass Tanay, not thinking about, they talked about, what's her name's, Alyssa Flash, what's her fucking name when she's
cheerleader
with
Melissa.
What's her name when she's with,
holy shit. Dusty's gonna kill me because we were just talking about her, too.
But anyway.
Wow, nice brain fart on both of our parts.
Yeah.
Raisha Saeed.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
But they had, Taz is like, what's up with that headgear? And it's just like, motherfucker, she's supposed to be from Syria. She's a fucking Arab woman. You are bringing up the Iraqi point earlier in the day. Have you not fucking seen any news footage from a goddamn Arab country? You fucking retarded moron.
Yeah. And Taz has not impressed yet, so...
Tanay has already covered this stuff. I even think Don West was... Well, God.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Don was starting to get there, and they fucking yank him. And it's just like, oh, my God. Like, you know, I even think Don West had covered it. It's just like, oh, fucking A. Tanay, you should remember that Don West told you this.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of her culture. Like, what is the mystery about that?
Well, Tanay actually mentioned, he actually brought up this week saying, you know, what we sort of know about Raisha Saeed is she trained about, I'm like, no, she said that. She clearly said that. It's not what I think we know.
Yeah,
go backwards in time. Just please. They've got these magic things, Mike, and it's called a time machine. It sits underneath your TV, and you can put tapes or these little weird discs in. And they play magical images that come through on your TV, and they can be really old, or they can be current, too. Oh, fuck. Fucking A.
Then his retarded ass has gone through it. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I can... Like, I'm not going back and looking at replays. I do not watch replays of fucking Impact.
No.
And you know what? It's right there. Like, I mean, you covered it. You talked about it. And I'm remembering it off the top of my head. Mike, I know you're getting a little bit old, but please, dear God, maybe keep some notes. Have a fucking notebook for yourself.
Yeah, that's it.
He is fucking awful.
Yeah.
Just the worst.
Never improved. He's never improved. And really has actually degraded in many areas.
No,
so.
He was never good to start with.
Yeah. Well, he was fine as the special guy in WCW.
He was horrendous then, too.
Well, no. What I mean was when he would come in and be like, well, this guy did blah, 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 and rattle off facts, not have to actually call anything, he was fine. That's what I mean. So
yeah, I know. And I thought he was horrendous then.
What was good about TNA? TNA's bringing back Roxy. Sting finally put a T-shirt on. That's fine. I have absolutely no problem with him wearing a T-shirt, so I don't have to look at his...
But Hernandez should not have been joining him in the T-shirt on contest.
Yes, Hernandez should right now, dude. He looks horrible. He looks really loose.
Yeah, he is a little slimy in the gut.
But what's funny about what you just said lines perfectly into SmackDown. SmackDown honestly has we'll only cover three because I'm not going to mention the other one. Talking points.
Yeah,
one Kevin just mentioned. The Hart Dynasty.
There's four.
Yeah. Well, the Hart Dynasty taking on... I know. This is going on a long time now. So, the Hart Dynasty took on... Shut up. Matt Hardy and John Morrison. Well, John Morrison is somebody took on the Hart Dynasty because that sure as hell couldn't have been Matt Hardy. Because that slobbily looking motherfucker better not be Matt Hardy and expect to get any sort of push right now.
Yeah, it is. He's been, at least according to his tweets, he has been hustling doing something, but evidently he's going to the same dojo that fucking Samoa Joe goes to work out.
Well, shit, even Joe looks a tad thinner.
Joe, you know what? I will give Joe credit. It looks like he's losing some weight.
Yes. But Matt, apparently him and Matt, it's like the suction tube from Joe and Matt. Right to Matt. And
we brought this up, you know, just with Joe's ring attire, and this is what made you think of the point, too. Matt's ring attire, and I don't know what I can't remember, and I wanted to go back and look at pictures on WWE.com, and I haven't, because I know that when he went heel on Jeff, he went to a different outfit, but I don't remember if he went to the full Lycra pants or not, or whatever.
Yeah,
fucking.
No, they were black and like a royal blue with white on them from WrestleMania. I remember that clearly.
They were the full pants, though?
Yeah, they were full pants.
Okay.
Yep. Full tights, not pants, tights.
Full tights.
Yes. Well, I mean, he used to wear pants. That's the only reason I said that.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So, yeah. well, I mean, it's the classic, you know, take me seriously thing. So he's wearing tights now. All right, good for you. Here's the thing.
It shows off your gut.
Yes. But, and I know he's had, what, abdominal surgery? Or he had a hernia or something? So maybe he's going to, like, say on one of his tweets that he can't do sit-ups right now. Okay. Kind of weird, but all right. I know we're kind of, like, goofing on the gut part, and the purple doesn't work. Purple works on chicks. Name somebody else who wore purple tights that wasn't Rick Rude that pulled it off.
Yeah, that is a bit of a problem.
I can't think.
Haku?
Well, Haku would look like a badass in anything, though. So, I mean, oh, what's his name? Harley Race did it for a while. But again,
he just had tights, though.
True.
Which, I think the full, the full-legged pant tights, that's the problem, is it's too much purple.
Yeah. Well, it's too much purple, it's too much self-tanning liquid, which is, that's actually my biggest problem. If you look at his face, and I mean,
it's kind of orangey.
Yes, it's not kind of orangey, dude, it's splotchy orangey. There's like a tan orange pale. I mean, are you fucking Tennessee end zone? I mean, that's awful. I mean, and I actually like Matt Hardy. I think he should have been pushed a long time ago.
Yeah.
So, more of mine's just based out of disappointment because he looks fat. He looks slow. His hair is ridiculous. I don't have hair, and I know he can't be happy with that haircut. There's no chance he can be happy with that haircut.
Yeah, he could really use an overhaul in the haircut department.
Yes. I mean, well, don't slick it back. Don't grease it down like you spend all day on the internet surfing porn. I mean, that's the hairstyle he has right now. I mean, it's just, you know what? Well, it's like that. What's that Arby's commercial about the burger or whatever, and the guy's using to grease his hair back? That's fucking Matt Hardy. He's an Arby's, and he's the burger employee that competes with Arby's, apparently.
Oh, man.
I mean, but if you know you can't work out to the best of your ability, diet, motherfucker. That's your job. I harp on this all the time. I mean, I used to get hate mail over at the Torch for this. I mean,
yeah, it's your job.
Yes.
Like, your job is to be in shape. Like, I say it all the time about football players, or you know, whoever. Oh, they reported to shape or to camp out of shape. It's just like, motherfucker, that is you're getting paid millions of dollars to be in shape.
Get your shit together. And especially if you're standing next to John Morrison, you know, John Henniger, whatever.
Yeah.
You have to improve yourself because you're going to look – and you know what? He may be – Matt Hardy may be thinner than the both of us, which really – I've lost weight, so I'm not that big anymore. But compared to – I mean, maybe, you know, he just looks that obscenely overweight because he's standing next to John Morrison, maybe.
Yeah.
Give him the benefit of the doubt. But if
that certainly doesn't. Well, and like I said, like it might just, you know, if he had had the baggy pants on or something, it might not have called as much attention to it.
You got it.
You know, like if he had gone back to the old Hardy look, you know, like even what Jeff's wearing still, which is basically the same pair of pants. It's just
for good
like,
of his V1 days.
Yeah.
When he was really entertaining.
Yep. And it's just like, okay, you know, like it could be something as simple as that would not make it look as bad.
Yeah. Now he definitely, and it's always, he's always got a response for this. He's always got a response for something, and it's always a woe is me response. And it's really, it's like after a while, dude, you're an adult, fucking suck it up and shut up and just go, you know what? Use it as motivation. Use it as anything. I mean, it kind of plays into Jeff Hardy's, farewell address after SmackDown, after his match.
Yeah.
Let me just kind of segue into this.
Just one quick point.
Yeah.
Earlier in the week, the King had mentioned how bad fucking Jack Swagger's win-loss record most recently, which was a horrendous thing to say.
Yeah.
Well, JR completely countered that point by pointing out after the Hart Dynasty lost to John Morrison and Matt Hardy that he does not think that their potential has been diminished at all due to that loss because of the high caliber of opponent that they were facing.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, is a perfect way to fucking do things.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, and that's just all in the same, you know, in the same family, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I would like to think that it has everything to do with the writing on SmackDown, but I think you have to give credit to JR as well. You know.
Yeah.
So...
And not so much credit to King, who is there to collect a paycheck half the time.
Exactly. But no, it going to the Jeff Hardy address, and this is, or address, sorry, his address. did you notice when he goes, I mean, and maybe this has, it has a couple different factors, but he even mentioned Matt in his farewell speech. He's like, well, hey, at least Matt and I are back together, and there's at least one Hardy on SmackDown. Cheap. No one cared. No one cared. I mean...
Yeah, well, I think part of it is that... I was waiting for Matt to turn on Jeff again at the pay-per-view. And I don't know if people were buying it. And they even... JR and Grisham were even talking about that. Because I think JR... Oh, yeah, JR said to Grisham, he goes, well, Jeff Hardy forgave Matt, and that should be good enough for... That's good enough for me, and it should be good enough for you, too.
Mm-hmm. But
or something close to those words. And it's just like, you know, and I think that might be part of it, is that they were starting to make Matt popular, and then they put a screeching halt to it, and now they're trying to start him back in the direction of being a face in a fairly quick turnaround, you know?
Yeah, and really out of the blue, because even when Matt came back for that refereeing that one match, he still acted heelish. And then the next week, they're fine. It was like, all right, that's kind of strange. So,
yeah, I don't think they've done a very good job with in that respect.
Yeah. Sorry.
Trying to think of something?
No, I got distracted by ESPN. So,
okay.
No, it... All right. I guess Matt's going to kind of be off the hook being mentioned in this because... The emotions at the end of that CM Punk Jeff Hardy match were outstanding. I mean, Punk played it off perfect. You know, Jeff just kind of looking around like, holy crap, I actually lost. You know, I'm done. And then the random crowd shots.
The horrified woman that they kept on going back to, they went to her like twice at least.
Mm-hmm.
That was outstanding.
Yep. And then there's kids crying. That always gets a laugh from me. I mean, that's hilarious. But there was one kid, and I actually rewound it a bunch of times. They're hanging on the cage, just right near the end. And just a little fat kid with the usual fat kid buzz cut. He's standing there. He's standing in the crowd. You just see him going, oh! I mean, just like mouth agape. Like, oh my God, what's going to happen? And as soon as Hardy falls, he just grabs his head. And then there's a guy like our age who shoots up and starts cheering when Punk was going outside the cage. I was like, this is awesome. That shot. He's going to be the John Cena kid. If they want to do this right, they'll find exactly who I'm talking about and make him the John Cena kid. Remember the kid from way back who had like the little like skinny dirt neck cut, and he's going like, "Oh my God, John Cena's got beat up."
Yeah,
that's that fat kid. It was just perfect.
Yeah, no, and I really did like I was howling when with the look on CM Punk's face was so awesome.
Yeah,
he's just like ha ha.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah, I don't really like wrestlers doing this too much, but since this one was clearly for the camera, just him being a dick and rubbing it in and just going, "I told you so," and just grabbing his belt, and he walks up, and he's just showing off. It was great. Because you don't see, because he went over clean. He went over clean at the TLC match as well.
Yeah.
You don't see that very often.
Uh-uh.
I mean, and you would...
Yeah, they always feel the need to protect people. So, mm-hmm. like, you always you almost never see a, you know, a fully clean win by a heel.
Yeah, especially twice in a row.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the match itself, I mean, the climax, you couldn't ask for much more. I mean, there was some drama. I mean, there was some high drama. And, I mean, you know, for us...
Oh.
You know,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Keep on going, but you made me think of one moment.
Okay. Well, no, but I was just saying, for people like us, we know what the outcome was going to be, because we knew Jeff Hardy was leaving, but you got to figure for that entire crowd, no one knew. I mean, not no one, but most of those people did not know.
Oh, yeah.
And what a shock that was, and you could tell. I mean, part of me thinks that people were waiting for Teddy Long to come out going, all right, since this was the fly of the moment, fly by the seat of our pants sort of thing, you know, the next pay-per-view is going to be you, Undertaker, and CM Punk. And when it didn't happen, I mean, you know, the address he gave at the end. God, why do I keep saying address? When he addressed the crowd at the end, I still think people were waiting for something to happen. And when he took his bow and left, people were like, is he really fucking leaving? And that was it. And then CM Punk just came back out and made sure people hated him.
Yeah, him blasting him was fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And standing over top of him.
Yeah. And then, of course, I had to show the Undertaker video, and it's like, oh, boy. Which we'll have to get into in another audio, but I really don't like Undertaker versus Punk right now. So.
Yeah, there are a couple of... small other points that I could bring up, but I think one small one that I'm going to bring up, and I think we can probably wrap things up.
Is this what you were laughing at?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. That kind of bulldozed right over you.
No, you were going somewhere, and it clicked in my head. I'm just like, fuck, I can't interrupt his point right now. You weren't bullying. Like, I was interrupting your point. But anywho, and this is something that I've heard more often, too, is, and people, it'll probably end up getting overdone at some point, but talking during the matches is really some people are really cracking me up. Like, Tyson Kidd cracks me up, and I thought about it because you're talking about the drama in the cage match, and I remember CM Punk, they come back from commercial, and he's clawing away at the stairs, and he goes, I'm out of the ring,
I'm out. And Jim Ross takes it personal. You're not out. Both of your feet have to be on the ground. You know that. Jesus, Jim. Settle the fuck down, dude.
But still, I mean, you know, I think that's a good reaction out of him, though, too, because Jim Ross didn't buy into CM Punk being the heel right away.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has kind of a reason to be a little more indignant with him, you know, in a way, because, like, he almost feels let down by him now that he's become, you know, preachy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If he fucking actually worked with a heel announcer, that would fucking help, too. But.
Yeah, when you're still training your announcer, basically.
Yeah. There's only so much you can do. But, yeah, the whole talking in the ring thing, I forget who else does it other than Tyson Kidd, but people have just been talking smack in the ring, and, you know, you don't always get the whole gist of it, but I think it's a fucking good thing to do. And, you know, when there's a rest hold, because I think CM Punk's done it during his rest hold sometimes when he does that body scissors.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and you know, and that's when Tyson Kidd usually does it. He'll be like, ask him, and you know, rather than just kind of being a little more quiet about it, like, they've been more vocal, maybe that's just it, is they've kind of, like, just stepped it up a little bit, and I think it helps keep a little bit of interest during those times, rather than it just being a rest hold.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't mind it as long as they don't depend on it too much. I mean, it's they actually like frowned on that for the longest time. So
well,
talking in the ring's fine. Some people I don't mind doing it. Others I really can't stand. Just because it seems like they're just filling it. They're just filling the match because they're not putting on a dramatic match. They're not putting on a solid match. That's how I always looked at it. So.
Gotcha. Yeah, and at least those two, with Punk, with the way Punk and Kid do it, I actually find it quite amusing, really.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's my boy Dolph that was doing it or not.
Yes, Dolph does it as well. He was one that started off doing it, and I was like, all right, he's one of the guys that feels he must need to do it.
He's been fine by me, at least, again, you know.
Yeah.
Like, the guys that I've heard doing it have been fine, or I've liked. So, it might end up being, you're right, I'm sure that there are people that are doing it just to fucking try and get something done, and
yeah.
It just sounds bad.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, anyone who's listening to this, I would hope, saw the Punk Jeff Hardy match, and you realize how good it is. So there's really, I mean, I don't know, we can dwell on it a little longer, but I think there's one big story we need to actually talk about, which I forgot before we started. And since you brought up Dolph, this is what actually jarred my memory, and that's Rey Mysterio getting suspended.
Yeah, looking at his likeness on the front of Stunt Granny here right now.
Now, did you and Eric cover this? I can't remember. Did this come out after your guys?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it came out after. It came out on Thursday, I think, and we had done the show on Wednesday.
Okay. He's now coming out and saying that he has a prescription for the pills he was taking, and that, you know, he couldn't produce it in time, and that, you know, they're being unfair about this or unjust. Well, here's the thing. If you know you're getting randomly tested at all times, then you need to make sure you have it at all times. I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, they're making you pay for your mistake. You understand that. But tough titties. I mean,
yeah, I mean, you know what the rules are. And, I didn't even see that, honestly. I haven't really looked at the news this weekend.
Yeah, he was saying that he had a prescription for it, and he's been tested a bazillion times and never, you know, always passed, blah, 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 blah. And that's well and fine. But you're also one of the top stars. And this sounds really stupid, but you are depended upon to be a leader. You are depended upon to help raise the future gen now. And that's what he's done successfully. I mean, him and Jericho have been the two catalysts for people actually becoming better than they were. The writing staff has helped, of course, but if you look at the in-ring work, look who they've worked with, and look at the results.
They're getting results.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and I shouldn't even bring it up, but I would even go so far as to say is, you know, Finlay and Mike Knox is the same thing. We talked about that last time, so you can go back and listen. That's what makes this disappointing, because Rey Mysterio means something, and by him meaning something, Dolph Ziggler means something now. So it was almost an obligation that he needs to make sure he's clean, and he needs to make sure he has everything in order.
Yeah, I mean, if he does have a prescription and he couldn't produce... Well, I mean, like you said, he should have been ready for it. Like, if you know that your tests are that random...
Yeah.
Do you not have a fax at home? Does your wife not have a cell phone that she can't fucking take a picture of it and fucking text it to you or something?
Just something, yeah.
There are so many ways to get that shit done these days that I can't imagine that, you know, you wouldn't be able to produce it in time.
Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, it hasn't come out, but do they give you time to get it? How much time do you have? You know, there's other details of this that we don't know, and that would be helpful to know. But at the same time, if you think about it also, there's a personal responsibility involved. But then the argument always is made that it's not not personal responsibility. It's always WWE's fault and, you know, or Vince McMahon's fault in these things. So personal responsibility is not something that actually exists in the world of wrestling. No matter how much they want to tell you, you know. Anyways, I'm going off on something totally different. So.
Yeah, you're trying to extend this audio to an hour and a half rather than just the hour that we've already covered.
Yeah, but no, and that directly affects the match at Breaking Point between him and Dolph, which Jim Ross has said Rey Mysterio will not be on it. So look for a title change coming Tuesday. So, or Friday if you wait for the spoilers. So, or the actual show. So, but. All right. I guess we better get going because this is going to take me a shitload of time editing all this stuff. So.
We're not going to pull back that curtain today, at least.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to sign out. Hopefully we can do another one of these next weekend before football season starts. It's going to be rough. So.
I didn't even think about that.
Yep. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to take off. Hopefully Kevin and Eric, or Dusty and Eric, or Dusty and Kevin, or something combination like that will be back. And hopefully we can get our other project up and running very, very quickly as well. So we'll once our secret, super secret project is up and ready, then all of you will know. So I'm going to get out of here.
Okie doke, grandkids. It's just during the day here, so it's not quite time to grab the sippy time beer, but it's time to grab some sippy time dinner.